This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including the book Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and right in your children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
A second grader who pointed a pencil and made shouting noises in a Suffolk, Virginia elementary school is the latest to be suspended in zero-tolerance gun incidents. Although the teacher wrote on the suspension notice, "I told him to stop, and he did," she nevertheless reported the incident to the next level, and the principal suspended the 7-year-old and his fellow pencil-wielding classmate for 2 days. A school representative said, "A pencil is a weapon when it is pointed at someone in a threatening way and gun noises are made." Despite community outrage at this silly reaction by the school, school administrators continue to defend their actions. The father of the suspended boy is a Marine Corps veteran. He said his son is a good student and never had any discipline problems. His son told him, "Well, I was pretending to be a Marine and the other guy was being a bad guy." In other zero-tolerance nonsense, some educators around the country are being scared by plastic Hello Kitty bubble guns, Pop-Tarts bitten into something like the shape of a gun, and toy World War II soldiers on top of cupcakes. Some parents say that zero-tolerance policies enforced without common sense make a mockery of the real issue of school safety. Stripping little boys of their masculine tendency to engage in military play is harmful, not helpful. When school administrators take zero tolerance to these extremes, they become fear-mongering strangers to common sense, rather than responsible adults looking out for the safety of all students. And it's not just boys who are the victims of zero-tolerance silliness. In a California school, an 11-year-old girl was suspended for doing cartwheels and handstands during lunchtime.
Has your son or daughter expressed frustration with the liberal ideology and anti-Christian propaganda on their college campus? Encourage any students you know to join Phyllis Schlafly and other conservative leaders in Washington, D.C. on July 18 and 19 for the annual Eagle Forum Collegian Summit. The conference is free to students who register in advance at eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. Frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is Don Wiskin. I had a massive heart attack at 42. The doctors could do nothing but send me home with disability as my future. I reversed the damage done to my heart with a natural remedy. I am now 58 and contribute my good health today to Extendovite. You have heard my messages for many years. A lot of people have taken Extendovite and improved their health issues. We are surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and chemicals that our body cannot eliminate. As we age, they can age us faster. Clean yourself out with Extendovite, available in capsule or liquid form. Get a 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. You can live a longer, healthier life just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. This is the second hour of Spengola Speaks. This is Tana. Our guest today is Joe Atwill, A-T-W-I-L-L. He is the author of Caesar's Messiah. His website is caesarsmessiah.com. And we were talking about, we've talked about a lot of things before we went to the break. And I've been looking at a bunch of notes and things, so I'm sorry. I can't remember what we were talking about.
We were talking about Jesus as the beginning of the new covenant and how the symbols that are used to develop the new covenant mirror the symbols in the Hebrew Bible, which concerning Moses and the way that the old covenant was developed. And so Jesus is established as a human Passover lamb. They have some symbolism that they take from the original Passover lamb. They ascribe it to Jesus, and then
But isn't that a type and a foreshadowing?
Because
I know that in the Old Testament, there's all kinds of prophecies talking about a Messiah. If you study the books of Isaiah, which are just a very difficult thing to get into because of the way that he writes as the typical Jewish prophet, where everything is hidden and concealed, and you really have to know the period and know the analogies that he was using in order to understand what he was saying. But he does talk about a Jesus, a Messiah. And so the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, as you say, was a covenant between man and God that was given through Moses, the Ten Commandments, and which talked about behavior. Then you have the New Covenant, the New Testament, which talks about not only behavior, but about the way that you are, the way that you feel, what you are thinking.
Right. Well, there's no question that there's major differences in, sort of the behavioral instructions that the literature is providing the reader between the Old and the New Testament. I mean, the critical political ones are to give to Caesar what is Caesar's, because in the first century, one of the huge boiling points between the Romans and the Jews was taxation. So Jesus makes this comment to give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And then he also says, turn the other cheek, which was obviously a Roman political goal because they were trying to pacify.
Well, it depends on how you quantify that. It depends on how you describe that. He is talking about a personal behavior. He is not saying that people should lay down and be rugs. He is saying that in your personal relationships with others, that you should be forgiving.
Right. Well, I mean, however you want to cut it up, this Messiah was giving a more pacifistic, more pro-Roman version of sort of the Messianic philosophy than what you find in the Dead Sea Scrolls or what was really going on the ground in Judea, because the
remember that the Dead Sea Scrolls took place way before, before Josephus and before the New Testament.
Yeah, there's some controversy about the dating of them, but I will accept that they were they were probably, you know, quite a bit before the purported ministry of Jesus. But they nevertheless
and,
are.
And they talked about the Essenes. They really weren't talking about a Messianic kind of a situation. These were a group of people who decided to live by themselves, isolated, and so they went out from everybody else and established their own community. And they did use the scrolls. There was particularly Isaiah. So we know that it was. We can date things from the time of Isaiah forward.
Well, Josephus records that the Essenes, and of course, no one really, we don't know much about this group, to what actual relationship they had to the scrolls. One of the theories is they were the authors of the scrolls. Other people have...
No, they weren't. I mean, the scrolls themselves tell you who the authors are.
No, I'm sorry, they don't.
Isaiah scrolls tell you exactly who the author is.
The word Essene doesn't pop up in the scrolls, but... It's recorded by Josephus, but Josephus records the fact that the Essenes were military leaders in the rebellion against Rome. Okay, so the idea that the Essenes were some kind of like little pacifistic group living by the Dead Sea, not engaging in current political life, is simply incorrect. The Roman,
where
the only
did you get that from?
That's recorded by Josephus. He records that one of the leaders was an Essene. It's in Wars of the Jews. I can find the actual passage if you want, but it'll take me a few minutes. But it's just well known that Josephus flatly recorded that the Essenes are that one of the leaders was an Essene. And bear in mind that most of the information we have about the Essene comes from Josephus, so you can't just dismiss him as.
I'm not dismissing Josephus at all. In fact,
he actually recorded this. So. But anyway, look, the political position of Jesus was very different from what you'd find in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which have things, for example, like the War Scroll. Now, the War Scroll describes a series of military battles, and it promotes Jewish activity against the invaders. And so this, creates a completely clear understanding of the movement as militaristic. Now, the exact relationship between the scrolls and then the messianic movement that led the rebellion in the first century is not completely clear. But as far as I'm concerned, the philosophy found in the Dead Sea Scroll was the literature of the messianic movement that rebelled from Rome. And if you study it closely, you'll see it's completely consistent with a messianic movement that would rebel. And bear in mind that one of the reasons, just right off the bat, there's something wrong with the character of Jesus Christ is that he is not a warrior. He doesn't promote warfare. And yet the lineage he claims is from David, the original Messiah, the original anointed king of the Jews. And David, of course, was a warrior. David did fight against the occupiers of Judea. And so the character in the Gospels is completely different in that he's supposedly wandering around Judea at a time that it is occupied by a foreign nation. Rome occupies...
Well, it was also very much controlled by the Pharisees and the scribes. And
well,
I think that Jesus was more
concerned...
About the influence that the scribes and the Pharisees had,
from the Gospels. The actual political control of Rome was through the family of Herod, their tax collectors.
Okay.
The Gospels talks about the Pharisees and the scribes, and Jesus has these struggles with them. But the known political structure was a very typical Roman province. There was Roman military soldiers, and they were under the command of the tax collectors who were in charge of gathering the revenue that Rome wanted. This was the family of Herod, and they, of course, were closely aligned with the Roman Caesars. They also tried to see...
Would you compare that to what we have here in America today, with the AIPAC, and then you have the Republicans and the Democrats. You have the actual government, but then you have AIPAC running them.
Right. It's the situation today is far worse, in my opinion, than anything described in the Gospels. And I think our situation is pretty catastrophic. One of the reasons why it's difficult to bring information like this to Christians. I want to thank you for all of your very good questions, but I often get into situations with Christians that, are very emotional.
Well, certainly. All righty, we do have to go to a three-minute break. We will take some calls when we come back. We'll be right back in about 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
Love America. Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available. Or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day. $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Welcome back. This is the end of our host today is Joe Atwill. It's A-T-W-I-L-L. His website is CaesarsMessiah.com. And we do have some callers lining up. So why don't we take a caller? Now, you did say that you get into some emotional battles with people. And I think that's understandable because, after all, millions of people refer to Jesus or use Christianity as the foundation of their moral values. And so when you're attacking or tearing down something that is so personal and private to a lot of people, you are going to receive some criticism for that. And there's a comment in the chat room, and the person says, I'm much confused. I wonder how the guests can deny the existence of Jesus Christ, yet continue to quote Josephus. Does Josephus not record the existence of the Christian sect and thereby the existence of Jesus Christ?
He actually, in Antiquities, Josephus has a passage in which he mentions the both existence of Christ and gives a brief description of the story of Jesus and also of the tribe that developed around him. Those people who have read my book will note that the story is deliberately and intended to be seen as fiction. You have to do some technical, a little bit of technical analysis to get to that understanding, but I would just point the reader into looking at the stories immediately following it. The so-called testimonium, which is the passage she's referring to, is a puzzle to literary analysts because it so abruptly enters the narration. The Josephus is writing about the history of Pontius Pilate, and then suddenly he stops and goes into the description of Jesus. But beyond that, he has two other stories, and these three stories, the one of Jesus and the other two stories, are actually woven into a kind of typological structure. The story immediately after the one which describes Jesus describes an individual who pretends to be a god and who essentially is buried for 3 days and then comes out and tells people that he's a fraud. So, you know, this would go into some complicated sort of typologic structure, but the writers of the Gospels and Josephus, and I believe it's just one literary team producing the whole body of literature, they wanted Christianity to operate as a religion. They certainly did have in mind that this would become a kind of a alternative to the violent messianic movement.
They also wanted
their a legacy to be known by posterity, and so that's why they have just they have structured the typology that is found in Josephus and in the Gospels to be very clear, and it shows that even though the character Jesus Christ is often seen as the most important character in the Gospels, actually the person who has the greatest stature is the Son of Man that Jesus predicts is going to come. Jesus makes just numerous predictions about this individual who's going to come, and he's going to come before the generation who is listening to Jesus' words passes away. And when the individual comes, the character Jesus Christ says there will be some very, very specific things. He says the Galilean towns will be crushed, Jerusalem will be encircled, the temple will be raised, not one stone atop another.
Which it was in 70 AD.
Right. And he says that the abomination of desolation will occur. So there was, in fact, an individual who came and did these things who claimed to be the Jewish Christ. And that individual was the Caesar Titus Flavius, who then, after the war, as victors often do, wrote their version of history. He just wrote it as a prophecy. In other words, Jesus makes these very, very specific prophecies about the Son of Man's visitation. And all of them, in fact, occur when Titus comes to Judea. So that was the vanity of the Caesars in action. They didn't need to do this, but because they were a very vainglorious group, they decided that they would have these prophecies about this Son of Man who is going to come very precisely within 40 years and, you know, ended up being the Roman Caesar. Now, you want to make sure that the military campaign was deliberately wired into the Gospels and vice versa. The Gospels were created with the military campaign in mind. Bear in mind that the first covenant, the covenant Moses established, had the 40 years of wandering before they could essentially have the change of ownership and Judea become the promised land for the Israelites. You had the 40-year cycle, which is also the length of time of a generation. Jesus supposedly, according to the Gospels, dies on Passover 33. So if you go exactly to the day, 40 years into the future from that point, you come to the exact conclusion of the war, which ended with the fall of Masada on Passover 73. So you can see that the new covenant is reusing all of the symbols and dates and structure of the old covenant in a kind to kind of show in sort of this religious, as you were pointing out, a prefiguring. But it all leads to the military campaign of Titus Flavius, who fulfills all of the prophecies and claims to be the Jewish Christ.
Where do you find that he claimed to be the Jewish Christ?
Josephus recorded, and in fact, all of the Roman court historians, Tacitus, Dio, Suetonius, they all recorded that the Jews had messianic prophecies, but they were mistaken in believing that they foresaw a Jewish individual. These prophecies foresaw the Flavian Caesar. So this was a flat position of all of the court historians of the Flavian family. They all claim the same thing, that the Jewish prophecies foresaw the Flavian Christ. Now, you have
And the Flavian family was, of course, Jewish.
No, they were not.
They were Roman?
The Flavian family is not in any reputable history for seen as Jewish, but they did claim to that the prophecies that the religion had were about them. Now, just one final point. If you go to this Catholic encyclopedia and you look as to who are the first saints that the Catholic faith recognizes as having historical existence, other than the characters in the Gospels, all of them, and I mean everyone, is a member of the Flavian family. Clement, Priscilla, Aquilus, Neros, Flavia Domitilla, the inscription on the oldest catacomb, recognizes that she created it for Christians.
The word saint, as used in the New Testament, simply means a member of the church, a member of Christ's church. It does not mean that it's some sort of sainthood that somebody, some human being, can award somebody who has passed away. So, I mean, that you have to clarify.
No, I would disagree. I mean, these are from inscriptions that led to the saints having feast days. And these are inscriptions that are in existence in the oldest churches. And these individuals were given a very special status.
But what I am saying is that is a Catholic teaching. That is not verified by the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, a saint is just somebody who is a member of Christ's church. We do have a lot of callers.
I'm ready to go. Thank you.
Okay. We are going to a break, but before we go, let's take Sunny in Idaho. And then, Sunny, stay over the break with us. Welcome.
Thanks, Deanna, for taking my call.
We're going to hold you over the break. We hear the music, so we'll be right back in 4 minutes. So be patient. We'll be right back.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran owned and operated.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand-name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Joe Atwill, the author of Caesar's Messiah. His website is caesarsmessiah.com. And Sunny, welcome.
Thanks, Deanna. I wanted to say thanks for giving me a chance. People like Mr. Atwill get all the exposure they care to have on the media, and you're the only place I know who gives other people to an opportunity to respond to this stuff. I could go on for 2 days, starting with his opening remarks, and show the proof of everything he's saying is a lie, but instead I'm just going to skip to the bottom line. We are in a war, and it's total war, to the very bitter, bloody end. But what people don't understand anymore, because we no longer see what's in front of us, we no longer recognize it. After 40 years of the degradation of our values and our morals through the media and everything else, you know, the 60s revolution wasn't just about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. The most important thing that happened was the takeover. The Bolsheviks and the Jews finally had enough people of their special agents in place in the hierarchy in the Catholic Church to take it over with Vatican II. And sadly, today, just two generations later, people don't know enough about their faith because, no, they no longer study the scriptures. I'm one of the blessed people who found a traditional with a capital T church, and I study the Word of God. And I've got to tell you something. The 60s revolution, and don't forget that Saul Alinsky himself said, he dedicated his book on a revolution to Satan himself. And if that doesn't give you a clue who we're fighting here, nothing will. But I listened to an interview with Mr. Atwill that was done with a British radio station, and I was just so disgusted with what I heard, referring to our Lord Jesus Christ as Mickey Mouse. You talk about this being emotional. You bet it is, especially to anybody who knows the truth. And this war, I finally figured out, it's taken me a while to understand what's going on here, Deanna. It's not enough that these people have degraded the faith and our knowledge of truth to the point that 75% of Catholics don't even attend Mass anymore. You know, you always say that truth doesn't fear investigation. Truth does not need linguistic gymnastics to prove itself like the lies do. The truth is the truth. But what has happened is it's not enough that they have driven people away from the church. They're now heading for the total, complete extermination of it. I heard Mr. Atwill last night towards the end of the interview saying that people have got to come together and they've got to rise up. And he made some very, well, let's just say not veiled insinuations that people, Christians, all people, need to rise up and finish off the Catholic Church. It's got to be destroyed.
Let's let Joe comment on what you've said.
Well, first of all, just a couple points of correction. I didn't say that Jesus Christ was Mickey Mouse. I said that he was as fictional a character as Mickey Mouse. So in other words, a completely different point of fact. As far as the struggle that she's referring to, I just wanted to give Sunny one point of information that might be useful for her. When you have media types referring to Satan, and it seems as though they have some kind of devil worship going on, what I want you to do is to try to see them as referring to the individual at the end of the book of Revelation. The end of the book of Revelation predicts the coming of a character, you know, the light bringer. But this, of course, is Lucifer. That's actually one of the ways to translate the term. And this is what these people are referring to. In other words, what's going on is that a group wants to bring about the conclusion of the book of Revelation under the terms that they want to define. You see, the war in the first century was really a struggle over who would be the human god. You see, the Caesars had the imperial cult. They wanted to be known as the human god. The rebellious Jews, rebelling against the Roman Empire, they had their messianic character, and so they wanted that individual to be the human god.
Could you respond to what Sonny said?
This is my response, and so that's really what the Lucifer is. As far as destroying the Catholic Church, I don't have any agenda against the Catholic Church per se, other than it is not a useful political organization at this point. I agree with her that it's been pretty much taken over. I don't see it as even reflecting the group that originally produced it. I don't know what I can really tell her of value in regards to it. What I want is for people to recognize that Christianity was used as a kind of mind control. And even though Sonny believes that, you know, in a version of the Gospels, which is not correct, she will, I think, benefit from recognizing how Christianity was used in the feudal system, because this will give her a clear understanding of what's going on today. I think we have neo-feudalism around the corner. I think if Sonny and I were really to spend some time in discussion, she'd find that we're very, very close in terms of our understanding of the world. We may not have an understanding of theology, but we understand what's going on in the world in a very similar way. And the problem is that government is simply very, very clever. And they set up these dialectics. They put one group in opposition to another to weaken both groups. I think the counterculture was a complete production of the government. And the idea was to create a kind of archaic revival. All of the images that we see in the, you know, the rock and roll world, the drug use, this is all, I've written papers about this explaining where this all comes. And they're just trying to move people away from the ability to think rationally. And unfortunately, this was also one of the reasons that Christianity was promoted by Rome, and why neo-Christianity is being used by the same group that developed the counterculture.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sonny. We do have a whole bank of callers. All of our lines are tied up. So we do have to move on because we are running out of time. I thank you very much. Bye-bye. Chris in Las Vegas?
Hello,
Joe, did you want to say something?
No. I'm just saying goodbye to Sonny.
Chris, go ahead.
Yes. You know, Joe, I am just really enthralled with this provocative conversation that's happening today. And I am an investigator and researcher into word terms and the hidden meanings with incorporated into them. For instance, if I might suggest, the word Caesar has a very curious or quirky spelling to it, which reveals a likely incorporation of Khazars or Khazars, either C-A-H or K-A, which harken back to their Pharisee roots, where the pharaohs and those conceivers of fairy tales emanate from.
Yeah, that's I've actually come across this interpretation, and I'll tell you, brother, I don't dispute it. I'm not a specialist in the area, but once you start picking away at, you know, the mind control and the way that the oligarchs use language and how they keep themselves hidden from the common people, really, the whole thing just breaks apart. You know, I mean, things as simple as the Beatles, you know, and rock and roll music, suddenly when you put them in context, you can see how they're being developed by the oligarchs to virtually enslave the population. So I've seen this analysis. I think it's fascinating, and I you know, can only comment that I don't dispute it. I just don't have the background in this area to really comment on.
Well, I would hope that you would perhaps consider communicating with me. I'd be happy for the board
operator. Yes, you know what? You can reach me at my, anyone who, like, I know we might run out of time, so if people have questions, please go to CaesarsMessiah.com, and then give me the email, and I promise I'll respond to everyone.
All righty. Right now, we have to respond to the music. We're having a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Joe Atwill, the author of Caesar's Messiah. His website is caesarsmessiah.com. And Chris, you had another thing that you wanted to add, and then we need to move on.
Absolutely. The other two words he's used several times that I think have great import are MK Ultra and government. MK Ultra translates to N equals the masters, K-U-L-T, cult of Ra, the sun god, and government is, govern means to control, regulate, or dominate, and ment comes from mentum or mind. So mind control is what officially it translates to, and I look forward to emailing Joe on his site. And thank you for having such a controversial and provocative guest on your show. He may not be in agreement, but there are none so blind as those who will not see. Thank you, Deanna.
Thank you, Chris. All righty, let's take Werner in New Brunswick. Werner, welcome to the program. Yo, Werner.
Your guest this afternoon.
Okay, we missed the first part of what you said.
It is quite a surprise, your guest this afternoon.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
But what Chris said is, you know, very provocative.
Indeed.
And I've listened to him, to the gentleman, and all I see is personal opinion and selective reporting of history.
Okay.
What it says is, in the multitude of counselors is wisdom. But then we have to use discretion to sort through all the counsel of the counselors.
And exactly. Scripture is not for private interpretation.
Yeah. And a true researcher for the truth has to research with an open mind and not with a predetermined outcome in mind.
Okay. Appreciate your thoughts. All righty. Thank you, Werner.
May I say something else?
Okay, go ahead.
As soon as a church, a religion, becomes an organization in the world, then it has to make arrangements with the ruler of this world.
Ah.
They know who the ruler of this world is. And one prime example is the mighty Catholic Church. They sure didn't practice over the for nearly 2,000 years, or say 1,600 years, what they preached. And then about this worship of the saints, there's a passage in the Old Testament where it says, don't follow the customs of the people around you, like the worship of the dead.
Okay.
And the saints are people that have died. And as you know, assuming that King David was describing him as the Messiah, I don't see any reference in the Bible where he has been described as a Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ, he came from the bloodline of the king of King David.
Well, that's what the what it says. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. We really do have to move on, but you're talking about 501c3. You're talking about churchianity and corporations, and certainly I'm against that too. Thank you very much, Werner. Okay,
let's move
on to Andrew in Rhode Island. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Deanna.
Hi.
Nice to speak with you. I'm not incensed. I am a Christian. I can appreciate other viewpoints. You know, the truth does stand on its own. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, you're free to have any viewpoint you want. God gives us freedom because freedom is based on love. You know, but I could say this, though. If we could fully understand God, he would not be God. A finite mind cannot comprehend the infinite. You know, I want to add to that, the Gospels are written in very basic English. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no mean no. I am from the Eastern Orthodox Church, and I'm not advocating one Christian group over another. But there are writings from Longinus, who was the centurion. There's writings from St. Fortuny, who was the woman at the well. There are icons painted by St. Luke in Mount Athos. There is more historical references to Jesus Christ than Julius Caesar, yet no one doubts that Julius Caesar ever lived. I can scientifically prove to you that soap can float by getting a bucket, water, and soap, but I cannot scientifically prove George Washington or Jesus Christ existed. But we can historically prove it with the written records. You know, those are my main points.
Okay,
I know,
Joe, your response.
Well, just bear in mind that the evidence that I bring that Jesus Christ is a fictional character is sort of a different quality than the stuff that your listener was talking about. I actually use real evidence, stuff that's actually in existence, and basically, I think it would probably be new information to most of your listeners that you can show that the ministry of Jesus is made up of parallels that were developed from the military campaign of Titus Flavius. And yet to do that, you don't really need me. You can just take Wars of the Jews and the Gospels, put the events in sequence, look at them side by side, and then just come to your own conclusion. The question that I see is, you know, where do the stories of Jesus come from? I've shown that with the story
the
that
apostles, Matthew, the apostles, they were martyred.
I'm sorry?
I mean, from the martyred apostles. I mean, Flavius came, what, 70 A.D.? What about the other 30, 40 previous years with Pontius Pilate? We have his history before 70 A.D. of Christ.
Right. I don't think that, that people actually think that the history of Pilate that we have is historical. At least most people dispute it. But you see, just it, even if it was, it wouldn't really trump or have anything to do with the evidence that I bring. In other words, what I'm saying is that the two literary streams of events are obviously dependent. They're obviously dependent. When Jesus says that Jerusalem will be encircled with a wall, he's referring to the event that Josephus recorded, where Jerusalem was encircled. When Jesus says the temple is going to be raised, he's referring to the temple being raised. When he says the Galilean town is going to be crushed, he's referring to when they actually got crushed. And then when you look at all of the different events and you just lay them out in a row, in a pattern, you can see that the adult ministry of Jesus was as deliberately developed from the war campaign as the pre-ministry was that Matthew has, where he uses the story from the Old Covenant to create this image of Jesus Christ of having been linked to Moses. So I say that if you just look at the two texts side by side, then this shows their dependency.
Joe, I think what he's talking about is faith versus literature and what you're trying to do in the comparison of two different sources. I think what Andrew might be referring to is faith in something that becomes the foundation for your moral values. And when somebody attacks that in any way, then it's pretty serious.
Right. Well, just bear in mind, I certainly don't want to attack anyone's faith. And if their faith works, that's fine.
The information I'm
bringing is that this is the historical origin of this literature.
According to the sources that you have looked at.
That's correct. And so if this has information relative to someone's faith, it's none of my business. I'm not trying to be either a spiritual leader or a spiritual negator. I just have seen Christianity obviously developed by a family of Caesars, and I have seen that the religion was then taken by Flavius Constantine and used as a kind of mind control device, and so this is valuable information for people to have today.
Sure. Okay, let's see. Andrew, did you have another comment? We've got 20 seconds.
Okay, the Muslim faith was born of the sword, they say, but the Christian faith was also born of the sword. The sword was pointing in another direction. They were born by martyrs. The first 100, 200, 300 years was 14 million Christians slaughtered. It was a cult initially. It wasn't a worldwide religion. And last point, John Chrysostom, Basil, Gregory the Great, Origen, they had no relations with Flavius. Those are early church historians. So I will pray for your soul, and I appreciate, Deanna, you having people of differing opinion. God bless all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Andrew. Well, we have run out of time. We'll have to have you back.
I'd love to come back. Thank you so much for having me on. I just want to mention, if anyone has questions for me, I promise to answer them. I'm always happy to come into a public forum and take criticism. You can reach me at the Caesar's Messiah website, and I hope to speak with you again, Deanna.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. I'm sorry I didn't get all the callers. Bye-bye.